Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everybody? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Very excited for tomorrow. It's finally here.
Dude, I can't wait. In 14 hours or so?
Yep, two quadruple headers. Back-to-back days. It's going to be great.
The banger in the paint, Rajan Walia. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Now that we know the playoff matchups, it's time to see where the games lie.
I have a question for both of you guys. In the past years, we've always started with quadruple, like back-to-back quadruple headers. How many of the games do you actually watch in opening weekend? Like, honestly.
I would say I watch at least five or six of them. And then for the other two that are, you know, not as great a matchup, like, for example, this year, the Clippers and Golden State, I may only watch a half of it or just part of it because you know it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah, on opening day, usually it's four matchups. And I'll probably get, like, a good two and a half. Usually the first game is probably like the least competitive, but at least two and a half if I'm lucky, three.
Damn, I'm impressed, man. Like per day or?
Like that opening week, that first Saturday.
What about the Sunday?
Probably like one or two.
Okay, so you're at like three and a half, four?
Yeah, I watch half the games.
Okay. I'd say I'm around the same. I usually catch like the late games, but the day games are so hard to actually clear up time for. I don't know how you do it, Josh.
I'm a free man this weekend.
Ooh, I hear you. Okay. Well, let's get it started. We're going to start with the Eastern Conference. Obviously, the series weren't established until the very last day, and so we're going to start... Let's start in the middle. Boston versus Indiana with a 4-5. Boston is leading the season series 3-1. And yeah, let's just go into it. Josh, what do you think about it?
I think obviously Boston has the advantage in this matchup. I mean, with Indiana, they have a really tough time scoring, especially against a defense as good as Boston's. And Boston just has too much talent. Even despite Marcus Smart's injury, he's going to be out for probably the first two rounds of the playoffs. I think, you know, slotting in Jaylen Brown, that's not really that much of a downgrade in terms of overall talent. He's probably a better player than Marcus Smart, but in terms of the intangibles, I think Boston's a worse team with Brown in the lineup, but he's still a really good player. But I just don't really think that Indiana can keep up scoring-wise with Boston.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think the interesting thing with Boston is they're going to be in a matchup where I think it still will be a competitive series. I don't really expect Indiana to get completely blown out. They've had one of the best defenses in the league. They just struggle to score. So I think it's really going to come down to how well Bogdanovich plays in the playoffs. He's obviously stepped it up since Oladipo's injury. But playing Boston four straight times, it might take a toll on Indy's offense, and I could see a lot of the games being in like the low hundreds or high 90s. I don't really expect any offensive explosions, but I think this is actually kind of good for Boston. They're going to be in some competitive games. They'll build some confidence going into the second round, but I don't see the series going very far.
Yeah, I think one of the key things that we have to look at is who's going to be covering Bogdanovich, right? Like, who would you have on him, Tatum or Brown at this point?
Yeah, I think you put Jaylen Brown on him because he's a more rangy, physical defender. And Bogdanovich has turned into a pretty good pick-and-roll player this year. But, you know, Jaylen Brown is bigger than him in terms of, not in terms of height, but just in terms of, you know, width, really, in terms of being physical and just being able to push Bogdanovich around. So he's not going to be able to post up unless they get into switching, you know, type of situations where Kyrie Irving's on him. But the one advantage that Indiana does have is they have two really good big man defenders who can switch on the perimeter, so they can not, you know, stop Kyrie, obviously, but maybe slow him down a little bit by switching a guy like Thaddeus Young onto him, like late in the shot clock, or even Miles Turner. But Indiana, again, like, their issue is they just don't have enough scoring and shooting. They only take 25 threes a game, even though they hit a pretty high percentage of them. They're fifth in the NBA in three-point shooting percentage, but they only shoot 25, whereas Boston shoots 35. So they're going to have to really start chucking up shots, I think, to try to get the math in a place where they can stay close in these games, especially on the road in Boston.
I think we have to really look at the big-on-big matchup at this point, right? You're going to have Turner and Sabonis and Young, obviously. And then on the other hand, for Boston, it's going to be like Al Horford, Aaron Baines, and Marcus Morris? Senior? You know what
That's
I mean?
Right.
Like, they're going to get bodied inside really hard once Baines is off the floor. So if I were Indiana, I would just pound the ball to Sabonis as much as I can, especially for the bench scoring. And just really, you have to be really reliant on him to score after Bogdanovich. Because you can't rely on Corey Joseph to score. You're not going to count on Darren Collison to put more than like 12, 15 points a game at most. Someone has to step up.
Yeah, I think that guy has to be Tyreke Evans, even though he's had a really bad season. But they brought him in for this purpose, right? To be like a secondary ball handler behind Oladipo when he was healthy. And he never really got into that role. Like, once Oladipo went down, everyone thought he'd be starting and be what Bogdanovich turned out to be in terms of being a lead ball handler and a guy that can do a lot of things in the perimeter. But he just has had an awful year and has looked terrible. He looks out of shape. If he has a big series, Indiana might win a couple of games, but he's the type of guy that you need to step up in this kind of series where you need scoring. And a guy like Collison, I think, is going to struggle against a bigger, you know, Boston perimeter lineup. I don't know. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, I think this series, like, no matter how we look at it, Boston's going to obviously be clearly the favorite. And usually a 4-5 matchup, like, you expect the series to be a bit closer, but I really don't see this series going more than 5 games. I think Indy might be able to sneak a good game at home. I think Boston will come out firing. They have something to prove, obviously, being the 4 seed, and a lot of people predicted them to be the best team in the East this year. Obviously, Milwaukee was a surprise. But I think, like, the way I look at it, like, I can see Indy maybe getting game 3 and being competitive in most of the games, but I think still Boston will win by like 10 points or so, and they'll walk into the playoffs in probably 5 games.
Yeah, and I think outside of Tyreke Evans just going off and totally changing his season, I think that if Indiana somehow wins game 1, I think hoping that Boston just implodes is also another one of their best chances of actually staying in this series and winning the series, because we've seen that Kyrie Irving doesn't react well when things don't go his way thus far this year. So if they get in a situation where, you know, it's a really close game in game 1 and Indiana somehow pulls it out, it could change the entire course of the series. And I think matchup-wise, though, I think they need to go to the Turner-Sabonis front court a little bit more than they have in the regular season in this matchup and just try to force Baines to be with Horford, even though they have had good statistical data with those two playing in the front court. I think that making this an ugly matchup with, you know, playing two bigs instead of, you know, Boston shooting a ton of threes and winning the math game, I think that's the way that Indiana can stay close in the series.
Yeah, they just have to make it dirty, right?
Yeah.
Just gotta grind
Nothing wrong with playing inside.
Well, just be the grit and grind of the East.
Yeah.
So where do you think the series actually ends if you have to put your money on the line?
I would go 5. Maybe 6. Maybe 6. If Indy can, like, really dirty it up, I would go 6, but... Man, I don't see a way for them to stop Kyrie or to even score. Like, I don't think they have any chance in this.
Yeah, like, Indy has to keep the score, like, pretty much under 105 to have a chance.
Yeah, at the most.
Yeah.
They might not want to pass the century mark, to be honest.
Yeah, like 105 is being generous.
Yeah. Jay?
Yeah, I mean, with the pace as is in the NBA, I think they want to get it down to like 95, which is basically unheard of nowadays, but that's probably the mark that we're looking at. But I also have Boston in 5, too.
Rough Indiana. How would you feel if Oladipo was still playing? Very different, right?
Yeah, so if Oladipo was playing, I think that it would totally change the seeding as well. Like, Indiana would probably still be in the 3 seed. They'd have home court at least against Boston. So in that situation with having home court, if they got, you know, game one and possibly game two, again, you go back to that scenario where Boston's infighting. It might happen again in the playoffs, and then all bets are off at that point. But I think if Oladipo was playing, it would be a 7-game series. I think it'd go to 7 for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. I think if Oladipo was playing, it would be like a true 4-5 matchup. I'd still see Boston winning in 6, but I think the games would be way more competitive. And I think Indy would have a chance of winning the series.
Well, there you have it. Boston in 5, says pretty much everyone. On to the next. The 3-6 matchup, Philadelphia and the Brooklyn Nets. Season series is tied at 2-2. And the biggest story going into this is we don't know how healthy Joel Embiid is. Kind of a big deal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, with the reports coming out about, you know, Brett Brown not wanting to talk about his status going into game one, like, a bunch of reports came out yesterday with certain guys that had injuries, you know, being available to play in game one, and we still don't have any type of report on Joel. So that leads me to believe that the knee injury is more serious than is being led on. And, you know, I think that he isn't being rested just to be rested right now. I think there's an actual injury concern with him. And if he doesn't play, then all bets are off. I think Brooklyn can actually win the series if he doesn't play.
Yeah, like, again, I think injuries in this series and another series are going to dictate a lot in terms of like how many games this will go. I still think Philly has enough ammunition to beat the Nets, but we're talking the difference between like Philly winning in 4 and 5 versus Philly winning in 6 or 7. And I think the issue is going to be that even if Embiid does play, I don't think he plays the full length of the series. Like, if Philly ends up getting a lead, they might start thinking about resting him a few games in between, because they want him ready for the duration of the playoffs and next season and for the rest of his career. I don't think they want to rush this one, considering how good of a season he's had. But besides that, if he's on the court, I think Philly's a dominant team. Inside, they literally can cause so many problems for the Nets. Like, Jared Allen won't honestly not offer much of an obstacle for Embiid. And they have no real other player that can guard him. But otherwise, if you take out Embiid out of the question, I think the Nets could easily win one or two games. So I see the series going 6, but I think that's just because Embiid sits out one or two games within the series. So, Josh, Philly in 6?
I don't know, man. I might choose Brooklyn.
That'd be great money, but I don't know if I like that line. I just think there's too much inexperience on that team.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think that Brooklyn has like guys that Philadelphia can't really guard, right? They can't really guard small guards, and they don't really like play up in the pick and roll. So like those guys will be able to get whatever shot they want. And if they get hot, then, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I think they can beat them. And plus, Coach Atkinson like throws in a bunch of stuff throughout games too that can mess up Philadelphia, like throwing in zone and shit. I think that could like totally change the course of the games. And then he played Hollis Jefferson at center too against Embiid. So if they just play like quick, you know, small one, I know, but it could work.
But I think the issue really is like I feel that Philly has enough like game changers that Brooklyn has like I think overall like a very good like evenly like they have like 5 good players that can play with each other. Like, obviously D'Angelo Russell's like going to be probably doing the bulk of the scoring, but like on different nights you'll have a different secondary score, you know what I mean? But I think Philly has enough game changers that even at the end of the day, if Embiid doesn't play, like, I can see like Butler going off for like 31 points one game, like Tobias Harris going for like 35 one game, and then like Ben Simmons having like a 25 game performance. Like, I can see them having just multiple different weapons scoring as well.
Yeah, they got better top end talent, obviously, but I think if like you're talking about upsets in the first round or even like in the NCAA, you want a team that has a bunch of gunners on it that can score 30 in any given night, and like Brooklyn has a bunch of those guys.
True.
So they're the type of team that could upset, right?
Yeah, I think if I guess now that Embiid's out, I could see the upset potential being a bit higher. I also remember watching a game. It was like in December, Brooklyn versus Philly, and it was like the worst game to watch. Like it was like turnover, like crazy. I'm trying to find the game actually, like stats on it. Mm. But I can see Brooklyn kind of just like they're athletic, so they can cause a lot of like just problems in terms of like getting Philly out of their flow and getting Ben Simmons to be like a non-factor and whatnot.
They're also young.
Yeah.
Key, right? They're just going to push the ball as fast as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if Joel doesn't play, then you have no like reliable center. And, you know, that's going to be tough for them.
Yeah. The issue with the Philly, if Joel sits, like their whole offense runs through him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, for the most part.
If he sits, you're going to have what? Like Ben Simmons trying to figure out how to post up D'Angelo or, you know.
No, this is like a really good matchup with Simmons. So if Simmons is going to dominate if, you know, Embiid's out.
You think so? Who's he? Who's their
It's a fast-paced game, and they have nobody to guard him.
Who do they have at the 2-3? Carroll and Dinwiddie, I guess?
Dinwiddie, yeah.
No, they start Harris, and I guess. I mean, Carroll's probably going to play the majority of minutes at 3, I guess, but then you got LeVert off the bench.
Yeah. I mean, Simmons does have a mismatch, but that's okay. Shoot. So...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they just play hit, they play off of him a lot, and if you don't have Embiid, I would just play off of him a lot, buckle down on Harris and Redick more than anyone else, and then single coverage on Butler. I think you have a chance.
Yeah, I think again, it's just like it's. I think Embiid will play. I just think that like they're gonna be very careful in how often he plays, and like if let's say they're up 2-0, I don't think he plays in game 3.
I don't know, man. Philadelphia should just be taking Brooklyn inside all day, right?
Embiid's there.
Even without Embiid, though. Because Harris is going to have a mismatch on whoever's covering him.
Yeah, and if not, like you want Simmons as close to the rim as possible. Like you don't want him taking jump shots, so he's going to be going to the rim anyways.
Exactly. So why wouldn't you just pound the paint as much as you can? And then eventually try to get guys like, well, Josh, you're going to say no, but Butler, and then obviously Redick to get open.
Yeah, like... I don't know. I still think that like Brooklyn offers enough resistance. Like I think Jarrett Allen against he's like the modern day center now, right? Like he's more athletic. He's a bit small, like in terms of size, he's a bit smaller, but like he's still very athletic, and he's a pretty good rim protector. So I think if they try to go inside a little too much, I think Brooklyn has enough interior defense to like kind of stop that. So it. Like, at the end of the day, it's going to be Harris and Butler and how many shots they can knock down. And Redick's obviously going to have to be, like, getting his 15 points a game at least.
Yeah, I think that Brooklyn, they just have to muck up the game. Just, like, go with all these gimmick defenses and then just try to outscore Philadelphia. Like, this should be the highest scoring series in the first round, in my opinion, if Brooklyn plays it right. They should just play small. Like, don't even bother playing Allen through Lala. Throw a lot of the series and then just... shoot as many threes as possible and see if Philadelphia can keep up.
Wait, you said sit Allen?
Yeah.
What?
No, I think you need I think you need that rim protection.
They didn't play him last game against Embiid. They played Hollis Jefferson, and he played really well. He had like 20-10 against Embiid.
In a loss?
They lost, but I think that's the way you have to go. Like you just have to play the math game and just try to run the ball down their throats.
That's crazy. Because Philadelphia's just going to run transition every time then.
That's what Brooklyn wants. So if you're playing a smaller lineup and you have a bunch of guys that can shoot 3-point shots, whereas Philadelphia really doesn't, I think that, you know, you're playing transition threes versus, you know, paint shots, which most of the time it results in the paint shots winning, obviously, because it's a higher percentage shot. But again, Brooklyn has the guys that can get hot. You got Dinwiddie coming off the bench. LeVert's played pretty well recently. Joe Harris can go for, you know, 20-plus at any time if you leave him open. So I think you just put your best players out there, put those four guys out there with whomever. Even be like Jared Dudley in center. He played center last game against Philadelphia, too. Just shoot as many threes as possible. Just pick and pop every play.
This is really live and die by the three.
Absolutely.
You're crazy.
Hey, it almost worked last game. I think it was the best chance.
Almost worked. Come on,
so where do
man.
We have... Where do we have the series going? Like, let's factor in that we don't know Joel Embiid's injury status, so we're going to have to make kind of a guess on that. But Like, if you had to put your money on the line, where is it going to be?
If Embiid plays all the games, I think Philadelphia is probably going to win five. But if he's not fully healthy, I can see it going to six or seven. So ultimately, I'm going to pick Philadelphia in six, I think. But if he doesn't play in game one, you know, this could be a potential upset. Calling it here. Wow. You heard it here first.
Haphazard. Okay.
Yeah, no kidding, eh? Philly in six is the best hedge, right?
Yeah, I think so as well. Like, I think Embiid will play in the series. I just don't think he'll play as much as he normally would if he was healthy. And I think Brooklyn can give them problems, but overall, Philly in six.
Philly in six, with or without Embiid.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep it moving. The hometown Raptors versus the Disney-sponsored Orlando Magic. The season series is at 2-2, and I don't even know what the major headline of this is. Maybe playoff Kawhi? Is that a thing now?
Oh, that's definitely a thing.
Or Terrence Ross comes
home. Kawhi unleashed.
Oh, Terrence Ross revenge series?
Oof.
Now, Kawhi's going to be ready after eating that cow's penis that he had on Serge's show yesterday.
Was that what it was? I haven't watched it yet.
I think it was cow's penis. I haven't watched it yet either, but I just watched the first like minute or so.
So you're just assuming that it's a penis?
Pretty sure it was a penis.
All right. I'm going to insert the Kawhi laugh right here.
You know, Orlando, if you look at the teams in terms of the matchups in the starting lineup, Orlando actually has given Toronto some matchup problems throughout the course of the year. But at the same time, like Lowry didn't play in one game. Kawhi didn't play in another. Their most recent game where they had their full lineup against Orlando, they just destroyed them. And Orlando couldn't score in the second and third quarters. And they lost by, I think, around 30 points before the third stringers came in. I think that's...
There was also a game where Danny Green hit like a mid-range jumper to win the game. So, you know, it's not like the season series is completely in Toronto's favor here. Even in
no, 100%. Like, the regular season ultimately doesn't matter, but looking at the matchups, I think now with Gasol being in the lineup instead of having Serge guard Vooch, early in the season when Serge was guarding Vooch, or even JV, I think was on him one game as well, where they started JV. Vooch went for some crazy numbers, and then the last game, Mark did a really good job against him. He wasn't posting up as much, obviously. And Orlando has struggles offensively, obviously, when Vooch isn't rolling, especially come in the first quarter, especially early. And, you know, Jonathan Isaac gives Pascal Siakam the most problems out of anybody in the NBA. Like, he's really struggling against Isaac because Isaac's almost a mirror version of him in terms of defense. And Gordon does an okay job on Kawhi as well. But I think Toronto's biggest advantage in the series, honestly, is Kyle Lowry against D'Augustine.
Got to use that caboose.
Yeah, absolutely. And he can get wherever he wants on the floor against a guy like Augustine. He's just going to bully him.
He's not going to be covering Lowry, though. You know that, right?
It'll be like Fournier or something.
It's going to be Fournier, and then Augustine's just going to switch to Green.
All you have to do is just hover around the perimeter. They put Augustine on Green, and Green hit like 8-3. So that could be a good thing for Toronto.
From Orlando's perspective, I would rather have Danny Green shooting all the threes he wants compared to Kyle Lowry backing me down every possession.
Yeah, and also Kyle Lowry's going to help.
I don't know about that. The math doesn't really work out.
Kyle Lowry knows how to post up, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but Danny Green shoots. Like, if you're talking about Danny Green shooting open threes versus Kyle Lowry backing down, like, of course you want Kyle Lowry to back down.
I don't know, man.
Danny Green's like the second best three-point shooter in the NBA, and he scored 30 against you last game. Come on.
I would start with that and then see where it goes, realistically. Like, obviously, I don't think Orlando has a chance, but I think these are the little things that you have to do to even just put yourself in a position to win at the end of the game. You know what I mean? I don't see why you would just let Kyle Lowry bully you all day.
The thing is, like, Toronto's offense doesn't really go through Kyle Lowry either. I mean, he just plays in flow now. Like, he's not even the second option really on this team anymore. Pascal is.
It's true.
So I think if you're forcing Kyle Lowry to try to beat you, I think that's a way that Orlando should go, to be honest. You want Lowry shooting more than a guy like Kawhi Leonard.
This is true.
I think one thing that's going to be interesting is, again, you mentioned the Jonathan Isaac versus Pascal Siakam matchup. I think that in itself is probably going to be a big part of how long the series goes. I don't think Orlando has enough consistency to put up a threat to Toronto, but I do see this series going longer than four games. I can see it going five, and I'm going to actually say the Raps probably win this in six.
Wow.
No, it's not just, going six.
Wow.
Yeah, I just think that with kind of the way Orlando is, like how their roster is structured, I think they match up pretty well compared to some of the other teams in the East. And I think they have a few players that can just kind of have good games. Like Terrence Ross, I could see in this series having a 30-point game. And yes, I said that. 30-point game, Terrence Ross.
It's the playoffs, man. Like, we don't have DeRozan on the team anymore, and Terrence Ross in the playoffs shrinks more than DeRozan.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see.
Hold on. Terrence Ross hasn't been there for years. Let's not associate second-year Terrence Ross with what he is now.
I remember that Brooklyn series, okay, where he averaged 4 points a game on, like, 18% shooting.
How long ago was that?
That was
at least 5 or 6 years ago. Get out of here. How are you comparing? Like, if that were the case, you could just say, oh, the Toronto Raptors didn't show up in 2014 either. They're not going to show up this year. Relax.
I mean, a lot of the talk around this series is that, you know, Toronto has a lot of pressure on them and they don't really react well in the playoffs. It's like they have a totally different team now. They have two guys that won championships with, you know, Danny Green and Kawhi. And then you have a more battle-tested lineup now that's been in the playoffs for five straight years. So
You can't say that.
Well, you can say Lowry's been...
Yeah, you can say Lowry and... No, just Lowry, because Pascal and Fred haven't been there for that long. Like, yeah, this Raptors team is completely new. It's very different.
And then Gasol, that's been in the playoffs forever.
He hasn't been in the playoffs for, like, 2 or 3 years.
No, but Gasol's been there for multiple years. And he's been through, like, crazy battles, too.
I understand that part. I'm just saying, you can't pull the... This is a completely new Raptors team. You can't compare them to what they used to be. And then say that they've been in the playoffs for five straight years because it's not the same team anymore.
No, 100%. But at the same time, you have guys that have had more experience than they had in the past, too. And the guys that are proven performers in the playoffs. So that experience matters. And Orlando doesn't have a lot of experience, obviously. I think that most of their guys are going into a situation where this is their first playoff experience, obviously.
Bismack.
He's a couple
that?
Years ago, if Orlando made the playoffs, that would have been true. Yeah,
wait, but Bismack is not even on Orlando.
No, he isn't.
What?
It's on Charlotte.
Oh,
the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, not Timofey Mozgov. Is that better?
He'll be in a nice suit on the bench.
Maybe not a nice one. Just a suit.
Just a suit. I honestly think that it's not that Toronto's going to do poorly in the playoffs, but I think Orlando just offers them a few problems. And I can see Orlando probably winning games three and maybe winning game five or game four at home again. And I think Toronto's going to be like, okay, we need to wrap this series up, and they'll win in six. And to be honest, it's better for the Raptors to go through these struggles in the first round than have those struggles in the second or potentially third round.
Damn, you really think that Orlando can pull has a chance of pulling off two at home?
Well, I think they're going to pull off one. And I think next game, game four, is obviously going to dictate whether it's going to go to five or six games.
Wow, you are very optimistic, man. I'm calling the gentleman's sweep.
Oof, five games?
Yeah, five, game four to Orlando.
Okay, how about this? Do you think Terrence Ross has a 30-point game in this series?
A 30-point loss, yeah.
Okay.
Like, he's going to score 30 and lose at some point.
Okay, 30-point game at
maybe
least,
25,
yes.
Maybe 25, but like, whatever. No. He'll go off.
25, okay. Josh, do you think he has a 25-point game in this series?
Hell no, he might not even reach 20. You're talking about a team that has time to prepare for, you know, the Orlando Magic, and he's probably their second-best option on offense overall, right? Like, Aaron Gordon probably averages more points per game, but he's not as efficient because Terrence Ross is more of a gunner. So I think you're going to see a lot of Kawhi on him, to be honest, or even Danny Green. And he's not going to be playing against the bench as much as he did in the regular season. That's the biggest difference with Toronto, right? You're only going to see like an 8-man lineup, I think, or maybe even 9 if they choose to play OG.
I think OG will be valuable in this matchup, though, especially against like a bigger Aaron Gordon and whatnot.
Yeah, it seems like a good matchup for him to actually play minutes in the series, whereas Norm, if he doesn't play well against Terrence Ross when they first come in, I think you're going to see a lot more Danny Green. I think they've been saving Danny Green, to be honest. He's only played like 20 minutes per game for a good majority of the last 2 months, so I think you're going to see him play like upwards of 35 minutes a game in this series. And I don't know. I mean, Orlando just has to do the opposite of what I said in the, you know, the Brooklyn-Philadelphia series, where instead of going small, they should just try to slow the game down as much as possible, because the things that Toronto struggles against is when they can't get in transition and teams offensive rebound against them. So they have the guys to send to the boards, obviously, with Gordon and Isaac. And Vooch, you know, I think he's going to have a little bit of problem playing against Gasol. I think he's probably going to win that matchup because he gets the ball more often, obviously, and he creates space for his teammates and everything. Orlando really has to slow the pace down to a crawl to really make this a series.
Yeah, one of the interesting tidbits I found was I think Toronto has like a top three offense in transition or something. But on the other hand, Orlando has like a top three transition D. Right? So that in-between game is going to be very important in this series, just to see where the pace really goes. If Toronto can somehow get past that first line of defense, they're chilling.
I think Toronto should push the pace, like in terms of just having better overall scoring than Orlando.
Yeah, and Steve Clifford coach teams are known for being really good defensively and being really disciplined defensively and getting back on defense and getting to the right matchups so you don't get cross-matched where you have a guy like DJ Augustine and Kawhi in transition because somebody's not running back properly.
Yeah, very disciplined.
Yeah, 100%. So Toronto's going to have to earn this series, obviously, because, you know, Steve Clifford is a really good coach. But ultimately, I think, you know, the top-end talent wins out in this.
I also think that's another reason why I think Orlando's going to push this to six games. It's because Steve Clifford is a Raptors killer. The Raptors the Raptors have struggled mightily against his coach teams in the past. And I feel like he knows how to get the best. Obviously, this is a different Raptors team, but he knows how to get the best out of his players, and he has his players playing better than they normally do against Raptors teams. And at the end of the day, I really do think that Raptors rely on a lot on three-point shooting to be kind of like to get their game going. And obviously, you're going to have one or two games probably where you're not shooting the ball as well. And I think Orlando will take advantage of that.
At the same time, though, Toronto also has two of the better finishers in the paint in the NBA now with Kawhi and Pascal. So I think they, you know, they fill all holes. If they're not shooting well on, you know, from the three-point line with Danny Green and Lowry, they can just take the ball inside and just punish you. So I don't know. I think that they have to slow the place down to a crawl and just hope that they get Toronto in a lot of late clock scenarios where they have to isolate a lot, which is where Toronto struggles, obviously. And if Kawhi is demanding too much of, you know, the usage rate in that starting lineup, especially later in the game, it could throw them off a little bit chemistry-wise. But again, I just don't really see this being an issue for Toronto. I think they're going to win 4 or 5.
So 4 or 5?
Let's call 4.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
This guy's confident. You know what? When Orlando's in a game 6 and you're shaking in your boots, I'll be like, you know what? I told you so.
Yes. Shake in your boots, Josh.
Yeah, I'm really scared of Evan Fournier.
Terrence Ross, realistically.
Yeah, and Michael Carter-Williams is their backup.
Oh, my God.
That's fucking scary for
them. Oh, no. Toronto in 3. Sorry, MCW just pushes it. I can't have that.
I just can't stand his face. He's just so punchable.
So violent.
He looks like a mannequin.
I mean, what's he ever done to you?
I've watched some of his games, so...
My eyes are burning. Steals God in his rookie year, remember that?
Yeah, that one game where he put up a triple-double in his rookie debut.
Almost a quadruple-double.
Sorry, yeah.
Almost. Or was... Yeah, almost. He didn't actually get
almost, that. Yeah.
I think he had like 9 steals in that game.
Probably had 9 turnovers too.
Oh, he definitely had a lot. No doubt. All right, let's move on. The final matchup of the Eastern Conference. I'd say probably the least competitive at this point. The Bucks versus the Pistons at the 1-8 positions. The Bucks lead the season series 4-0. And Blake Griffin for the Pistons, who is obviously their best player, is sort of limping around on one leg. Quick 4-0. Bucks just do the work, get rid of it, just keep it moving, get your guys healthy. There's nothing else to this series.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is just like a statement series. Obviously, the whole issue with the Bucks is like, oh, they don't have experience, this team's so new, they're not battle-tested. I think they're going to show, obviously against a very weakened Pistons team, that they're going to make light work of this 4-0, especially if Blake doesn't play. I think you're going to be relying on Luke Kennard to put up points. I think the Bucks have this.
Ooh, Luke Kennard. My man. Yeah.
Too bad that Blake's not fully healthy, because seeing a matchup with him and Giannis would be really fun. But if he looks like he did in the last two games of the regular season before he sat out the last one, I mean, it's going to be really tougher, I guess, to watch the series in general. But the only way for Detroit to make this competitive is they somehow win the guard matchup, I think. You know, Milwaukee is down two players with Brogdon and Nikola Mirotic out. And, you know, if Bledsoe does struggle, if he goes back into being last year's playoff Bledsoe and Reggie Jackson somehow wins that matchup, and, you know, they get 2-point shooting off the bench. I know you're laughing, but it is a possibility. You know, maybe Bledsoe just has, you know, a situation where he just doesn't play well in the playoffs. He doesn't play well under pressure. So it's a possibility, but even if that happens, it still probably goes 5 at most.
Yeah, but then who's going to stop Middleton and Giannis? And
Middleton might stop himself. Let's be real here. Middleton's had some bad shooting slumps this season, so I wouldn't be surprised if he went into a slump. But at the same time, Detroit would need Langston Galloway and Luke Kennard to drop, like, I don't know, 60 in between them. And Andre Drummond needs to be an absolute beast on defense, which he's not really.
And especially with, like, Lopez playing so far away from the rim now, like, he becomes a non-issue.
Yeah, Lopez hit an incredible amount of free threes against Drummond when they played in the regular season. So I think Detroit's best situation here going forward is sort of like with Brooklyn. They really have to find different ways within the game to muck up the game in terms of throwing zone defenses at Giannis or just putting Drummond on him and just saying, you know, go ahead and score 40 or 50.
Oh, I got it.
And try to shut down the three-point line.
I got it. So, similar to the Golden State Warriors of a few years ago, you just throw out Zaza Pachulia and let him do his work.
Yeah, honestly, put him on Giannis for one possession and just tackle him or something, or throw him in his hands.
Yeah, knock on wood, Dwayne Casey isn't actually listening to this. I don't want to see Giannis get hurt, but
yeah,
I think Zaza is our best chance of winning the series.
Yeah, like, at least it gives them a fighter's chance.
Yeah, the other thing going against the Pistons is you have playoff Dwayne Casey, so, you know, it's going to be really tough for them to win a game just based on that.
ISO.
Pound the rock.
It's going to be Luke Kennard ISO. Can't wait. 1-4 Luke Kennard. I love Luke Kennard, man. The guy's a good shooter.
He's a solid player, but...
Yeah, he's not.
Getting back to like the Giannis matchup, would you guys put Drummond on him or would you put Blake on him, assuming that he's healthy? Because so far in the regular season, they put Blake on him and they put Drummond on Lopez, and Lopez hit like 7 threes in one game against him. So,
I'd still go Blake on Giannis.
I would switch it up. I'd put Drummond on him. Drummond's more like he's longer than Blake is, right?
Yeah,
and he's got more.
He's stronger.
Yeah, like I would, and he's more comfortable in the paint. Let Giannis shoot all day. You know what I mean? If you put Drummond hit, like leaning back or like falling back on pick and rolls and just chilling in the paint, wait for Giannis to come at him. All you gotta do is stand and jump vertically and hope that he misses.
I don't know. I think this is a mute point. Like it's like, how do you want to die? You know, like,
well,
do you want to get burned alive, or do you want like to die by brute force? Like it doesn't matter. You're gonna probably lose the series in 4. I have an interesting question for you. If I know we kind of touched upon it in each individual series, but which one has the biggest chance for an upset, like lower seed beating the higher seed?
Brooklyn, for sure.
No. Indy.
No way.
No, you just hate on Philadelphia too much.
It's not even that. Like, Brooklyn's the one team that has, like, the guys capable of getting hot in the series, right? Like, Orlando doesn't have guys. Like, they have Terrence Ross, right? They have one guy. Brooklyn has, like, 4 guys like that.
Not really.
Well, he's talking about Dinwiddie, Hollis Jefferson.
No. Levert. Hollis Jefferson. What? I'm talking about guys getting hot from the three-point line.
Oh, like Joe Harris.
D'Angelo Russell. They have guys that can score on that team.
It's only D'Angelo and Levert that are actually going to, like, pop off.
No, Dinwiddie's had some massive games this year.
Harris isn't going to draw more than 15.
No, that's fine, but... You have Dinwiddie off the bench going against McConnell, right? That could be a huge matchup advantage.
Yeah, McConnell's not going to play much. Let's be real.
No, he will in the right matchup.
No, but the point is, if you're looking at an upset, right, you have to find out a way that they're going to, you know, beat that team that has more talent than them. And most of the time, it's just a matter of guards getting hot in the playoffs, right? And they have those guards to do so. Whereas if you look at other matchups, like, who does Indiana have? They have Bogdanovich, and that's pretty much it.
They have Sabonis. They don't, like, it's a different take on the series, right? Like, you're relying on Brooklyn to do what other tanking teams sort of do. Well, not obviously not tanking, but you know what I mean, right? Like, you just want them to push the pace and gun as much as they can. Indiana is just going to play Indiana's game and try to muck it up as much as they can. And against
Yeah, at the same time, though, you still have to be able to score enough points to win the game, too, right?
Yeah, of course. But against a Boston team who, one, doesn't have strong chemistry at this point, and two, is missing their best defender, I would say Indiana has a better chance of upsetting. I put a lot of value on Marcus Smart being injured right now.
Yeah, it's a valid point. I think the only way they win that series, though, again, is, as you mentioned, the chemistry issue with, like, them just imploding. I think if they lose game one, like, you never know. It's definitely a possibility.
Which is a real likelihood, too, right? Like, Boston's been better since January or, like, the All-Star break, but they still have a lot of downfalls.
They have issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one thing that... I'm probably going to lean more with Josh and say that Brooklyn has a better chance. And I think that's just because there's a huge chance that Embiid is really not healthy. He might not play this series. And then if he doesn't play, that's like a huge X factor. You're talking about an MVP candidate not playing. Even if they have enough personnel, like you still have like three all-star players on your roster, or three players that are all-star level. I think you can still run into issues just with chemistry, who's going to play center, who's going to get the ball when it matters most. And Brooklyn's young. Like, sometimes young teams show up and they kind of play more carefree and they have less pressure than Philly does.
Yeah, I think with them beat out, like, you're basically going to have to play Brooklyn's style because you're going to have to play Mike Scott at center because they don't really trust anybody else. And then you're basically just gunning versus a team that loves to gun. And they play that style better than you. Even though they have less talent, they know that style. And I think that'll be a 7-game series if Embiid doesn't play at all, which doesn't seem likely because he's the type of guy that wants to play no matter what. So,
yeah, I don't foresee that being an issue. I think he'll end up playing. He'll probably see game one. And then once it's a close game, it's just going to click in that he has to play. And he's not going to allow himself to sit.
Yeah, he's going to see what happens. He's like, no way, this is happening.
Oh, it'll be so great. Going into game one, because they're actually the first game that's playing on Saturday, too. So if he doesn't play and Brooklyn ends up winning game one, oh, it's going to be so great. It's going to be so juicy.
So juicy.
Series totally will turn.
Whatever you say, boss. Whatever you say.
That's it.
Stats corner or nah?
Nah, I got nothing for stats corner besides just saying Raps in four.
Oh.
These guys are confident.
When was the last time Raps swept a series?
Never.
I didn't think so either. Maybe
it's a first time for everything, and this is the year we're finally going to sweep a series, and then we're going to go to the finals and beat Golden State. It's going to be great.
Yo, remember last year when they couldn't even win in game one? When that was a major accomplishment, winning the first game of the playoffs?
I think this year them playing Orlando is going to be similar to them playing Washington last year. Like, the series is never really in doubt, but it just takes a little longer than you would have expected, like 6 games. That's right. The one series we couldn't agree on, like, at least in terms of how long it's going to go. So maybe that's the one that's the upset.
Oh.
Oh,
my God. 3 40-point games.
Yeah, Michael Carter-Williams is going to go for another triple-double.
Michael Carter-Williams is going to shoot a three and hit it. How about that?
Kent Burch is going to return to his homeland and put up double-doubles.
That'd be incredible. That'd be the
shout
best
out to Kemba. He's actually been really good this year.
Yeah, he's the one guy I actually don't want to hate on.
Yeah, I actually like the guy. He's pretty good.
Yeah. All right. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, all the major podcast platforms. Obviously on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And obviously this is the Eastern Conference. We'll have a Western Conference one later, coming out later today. So, you know. Keep those apps loaded. And until next time, peace.
Raps in four.